It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Episode 442 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. A few things we'll talk about today. Eastern Conference playoff race. What did Tiger Woods write to Neil Shipley on the eighth hole? I need to know that. I don't know if you heard about that. You probably were dialed into the Masters all weekend. And Austin Matthews, gold numero 69. Just polishing up on my French a little bit, Craig.
Yeah.
Might be going to Quebec soon.
Oh, for what?
I don't know. Just might go to Quebec.
Okay, good spot. Got to hit up Montreal, Quebec City. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, that's the hopes. Hopes would be that it would be in Montreal. So just working on my French. Had a woman tell me I needed Botox injections the other day, and another concert added to the summer concert list, Craig. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And you'd like this one too.
Okay. Where are we going?
When I bought the tickets, I actually bought one extra, thinking that you might want to go to this one.
Okay, probably not, but let's hear it.
Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones.
Really? Okay. That Mr. Jones means nothing to you.
No.
This is why I love you.
What's the initials of the band?
I can't give you that.
You can't give me the initials of the band? That would give it away?
Do you think the NHL should move a team to Omaha, somewhere in middle America?
I know exactly. I can sing the song in my head. I just literally cannot. Come on, man.
CC.
Counting Crows. There we go. All right.
Counting Crows.
All right. Wow, that's okay.
They're here. They're coming to Buffalo, so I'm going. I got you a ticket if you want one.
Ooh.
If Where? You want one. It's at the Outer Harbor, actually.
What's that?
It's the Outer Harbor, Buffalo. So it's on the other side of the bridge. The big bridge that goes through right through downtown over the arena.
Okay.
All it's right. on the other side of that.
All right.
So you're welcome to join me.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the offer.
Added that one to the summer concert list.
That'll be a good one.
That will be a good one. That's now five. That's five concerts now that I got going. Had a woman try to sell me on some Botox the other day.
Okay. I don't even know what to say to that.
Well, I was talking to this woman and I asked her what she did. She said she does injections. I'm like, oh, you mean like, I go, you mean like COVID injections? I said, what do you mean? Like lethal injections? What kind of injections? She's like, injections, cortisone injections. Like, what are we talking about? What kind of injections are we talking about? She's like, Botox injections. I was like, oh, it's like, okay. I was like, I don't know anything about that. I said, how does someone sell someone on Botox? Or do people just call you? She's like, no. People call us and they come in. They tell us. I said, well, does anyone ever ask if there's more that they need done in your opinion? And she's like, yeah, all the time. I was like, and how open are they to suggestions? She said, oh, they're very open. You know, they trust my judgment. You know, they think that, you know, what sometimes, you know, they'll take my advice. Sometimes they won't, you know, whatever. I just, you know, give them my thoughts and, you know, do what they ask. So I paused. I said, sell me on some Botox. What do I need done? And she's like, you want the truth? I said, yeah. And she starts looking at me. She starts looking at me. And she's looking at my eyes. And she's like touching my eye. And she's like touching there. She's like, you could use a little filler there.
She's like, and who is this lady?
Doesn't matter.
Remind me of what is going on here.
It was the other night. I was talking to her boyfriend. And then she came over. I had met her before, but I didn't know what she did. So I asked her. And then, so he was standing there, like, listening to her. He's like, oh, God, here we go. I'm just like, no, go, fire away. She's like, well, you can use a little something there. She can use some filler there. And I was just kind of like, oh. She's like, don't take it personally. I said, no, I'm not. I said, but you're very honest. She's like, so do you want to make an appointment?
God.
Anyway, I guess I need some Botox, Riff.
You should get them in your lips. Your lips are not very full, eh?
I think I have nice lips.
Yeah, they're just not full enough.
Full of what?
Botox.
You know, I think I need to jack those bad boys up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really?
I think so, eh?
Your eyes are getting droopy, too.
Are they?
Yeah. Jesus. Like near your eyebrow up top, like you, yeah. If you get a little Botox in that, you'll look like you're surprised all the time. Like,
notice I haven't mentioned anything about Sabres yet.
What is there to say?
I'm not talking about the Sabres until the press conference this week. So next time I talk,
can I say something about the Sabres? Maybe that you can give a 30-second opinion on?
If it has anything to do with Clifton taking out Cousins,
nope.
I'm...
No.
Karma's a bitch is what they say in that regard,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. I think Connor Clifton, that's the way he needs to play, and I love it, and good on Connor Clifton. So I don't have a problem with the hit. I would want him to do that 10 out of 10 times. And sometimes you're going to get called. Sometimes you're not. I don't think he was targeting the head at all.
Do you think he knew who the player was?
No, I don't think he cares. I think Connor Clifton's going to hit anybody.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that he picked a target. I'm just saying, I just wonder if maybe he knew who the player was and he leaned into it a little harder than...
I don't think so. Maybe he would. I think Connor Clifton has shown that he is going to hit hard and he does not care who it is. So that's not what I was getting at. I was basically going over the Sabres team, looking at the Sabres statistics for the year. And there's a few guys that I would, you know, I would like to see them, you know, accomplish a few things. One being Alex Tuck. He's sitting currently leading the team in points with Rasmus Dahlin. Both players have 59 points. I would like both those players to get 60. There's a big difference between 59 and 60, right? Tage Thompson. He's currently sitting at 29 goals. Would love nothing more for him to get that 30th. And on top of that, he's sitting at minus one. I would like him to be a plus player. JJ Paterka has had a really, really good season, sits at 50 points this year. It's been a nice year for him. Still very young, sitting at 28 goals. I would love nothing more for him to just pull something out of his hat and have himself a game and score two goals, if that's even possible.
Do you think the Sabres want that? Because, I mean, he's a 28-goal scorer, not a 30.
Yeah,
not a 30,
I mean, there's
scorer.
A big difference between 28 and 30. There's a huge difference when you're dealing with contracts, signing, being a 30-goal scorer. Like, there's no difference between 30 and 39. Do you understand that? When you go to sign a contract, there's 30 goals and 39 goals. You're a 30-goal scorer. If you hit 40, just like Jeff Skinner did, years ago when he pulled the ski mask over his head and said to Terry Pegula, I want all your money. Terry said, okay, give him $72 million. 8 years. Moving on. Owen Power, 33 points. I'd like him to get the same point totals as last year, which was 35. Hopefully he can pull that off.
Yeah, I feel like we've done this. Like,
I'm
honestly,
just saying, like, I would
yeah,
like
great,
to see,
great, good.
I would like
lining.
To see some of
these
guys.
I didn't even watch
guys.
The game on Saturday. They didn't, they were not, I honestly, I did not even watch the game because at this point in the season, they have not done enough to take away my Saturday afternoon from me in April.
Okay. Well,
so
I watched it.
Good.
And it was a good game.
I love that it was a good game.
I watched it and it was a good game. Obviously some people, you know, on Twitter and all this kind of stuff, there weren't very happy with Dylan Cousins on a play at the end. But, listen, I mean, Dylan Cousins,
what happened? What play in the end? What are they talking about?
It was in overtime. It's good back check, you know, kind of makes picks up the puck in his zone, strips on a back check, strips the puck. Picks it up, makes the turn, loses the puck, and 2 seconds later, Barkov strips him of the puck over to one of the hottest goal scorers in the National Hockey League, and Sam Reinhart, and it's in the back of the net. And people are not very happy with what they're seeing from Dylan. Listen, I mean, he's had a tough year. It has not been a great year, but I will say this, and I think you can agree with this, is that you go into some years where, man, just things are feeling good and you ride that wave of confidence and everything else and you're feeling good about your game. And there's other years that you play, and Dylan's going to know this. He's a young player. He's going to understand. He's going to be in this league a very, very long time. He's going to realize that sometimes you're just not going to have great stints, great games, and for that matter, great seasons. But that's what's beautiful about it, is to be able to kind of reset, go home, get away from it, train like a savage, like it means something. And when you come back, you've got a fresh new beginning again. And I think all the fan base really do trust and believe in Dylan Cousins. He's a hell of a hockey player. We're pretty lucky to have him. Hasn't been, you know, his best season, but for that matter, I mean, he will be very good.
Since that Hathaway fight, if you want my own personal opinion. And that's, you know,
people have brought that up, and I don't know if I agree with that, because listen, I mean, holy shit, man. So what? You got your nose broken. Big frickin' deal. It's probably not the last time it's going to happen. Shit, this is how the game goes. You're playing a rough physical sport, and sometimes things don't go your way, but you pick yourself back up. It's just a nose break.
Okay.
Listen, I haven't been able to breathe out of my nose for 25 years.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. One nostril is just beautiful.
The other
nostril, like, I can't breathe out of it at all.
Been the same since. I think if he doesn't break his nose in that Hathaway fight, I bet he has four or five more fights this year.
Yeah, and I would like to see Dylan Cousins player
Dylan
too.
Dylan Cousins has to fight. He doesn't have to fight.
He has to
fight a bunch of times a year. Yeah, he does. He has to have four or five fights a year.
Okay, I agree with that too.
Just like Corey Perry did, just like Ryan Getzlaff did, just like the guys that we try to compare him to. I'm sorry, players don't want to be told they have to fight. Dylan Cousins has to fight. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to fight. Fuck, I had to fight.
Yeah, your job's very different than Dylan Cousins, right?
My job's very different than Dylan Cousins, but I think that players, like, you know, when Dylan Cousins was good in that rookie year when he fought that Langren after the game,
right?
In New York, he had a couple other fights where guys went out, took liberties on him, took liberties on his teammates.
Yeah,
and listen, maybe part of the problem is that he doesn't want to just be the guy doing it all by himself. Maybe that's part of it too, but at the same time, you still have to do it. That you can't deviate from your game because you don't feel like other players aren't pulling their weight. All I'm saying, Craig, is I'm going to just wait for the press conference.
And what do you think you're going to find out in the press conference? I don't understand. What are we waiting for the press conference? What do you think you're going to find out?
Nothing. I don't think I'm going to find out anything, but that'll be the next, in my opinion,
conversation about the team.
Conversation that we have about the team, because the games don't matter. You know, like Lou Brown on social media, one of our favorite Twitter accounts that follows the show, tweets to us, "What's the name of that steakhouse in Tampa Bay? Green Light, boys." Thinking with the wine cellar. Burn Steakhouse. That's what he was talking about. One of the best places I've ever been to in the NHL. Coolest dinners, not the best dinner. Not even close to the best dinner, but one of the coolest dinners that I've had in my NHL experience was at Burn Steakhouse in Tampa Bay. Big night tonight in the NHL, though. You could say it for a number of reasons. Sabres play their 82nd game of the season, so the season's over. But Canadians are at the Red Wings. Islanders are at the Devils. Penguins are at the Predators. Bruins are at the Capitals. Predators are at the Penguins. Bruins are at the Capitals. Senators, Rangers doesn't really mean much more than just the President's Trophy race, which I feel like
that's... Well, Rangers win, they take the big prize. But yeah, there's four teams right now that are still in that race. So it's important. You know, you can't overlook the Senators. Senators have been a team all year long that have not... They have not played up to their capabilities. They have actually had a very, very bad season. But I will tell you this, the Senators have the ability to beat any team in the league, any team. And you cannot take them lightly, but it's going to come down to a big night for the Rangers. They can get their 55th win. They can clinch the President's Trophy, and the rest is history. They're moving into the playoffs.
Yeah, and who you play in the first round too, because Carolina's right there as well. Yeah. You lose this game to Ottawa and Carolina wins, you're playing now the Islanders probably in the first round. But winning the President's Trophy gives you home ice advantage through the playoffs. Correct. So that means, like, you go to the Stanley Cup Finals, which if you're winning the President's Trophy, that's an expectation. That when the Stanley Cup Finals start, you're at home, and that's massive. I think that's a massive advantage. It's more than just the little bonus that tacks on to the end of the year and an added trophy to each player's trophy case.
Can I ask you this? You're I don't know how you're going to react to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Right now the Sabres are sitting, you know, if they were finished today.
Why are we talking about the Sabres? We thought we were talking about the playoffs.
Okay, I just want to ask you a question. The Sabres cannot move up in the standings from where they are right now. So they would be picking 11th, the 11th pick in the NHL draft. Currently, if everything stays the way it is right now. The Sabres have one more game. The New Jersey Devils have one more game. Calgary has two games. Seattle has two games. Those three teams could move ahead.
Okay. Is this conversation about draft pick?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just remind you of something, because I see where you're going with this. But the thing is, you just said the other day, I brought that up.
Okay. Yep.
And you said draft picks don't matter. I want wins.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So okay. I guess what I'm asking with the Sabres conversation, because the two don't go hand in hand for the 13th straight season in a row, which matches an all-time high, which matches a pro sports record. New York Jets.
Okay. So where we're at. But what I'm saying is, would you rather the Sabres drop a few picks? Like right now, they're picking no worse than the 11th pick in the NHL draft.
Sure.
But if New Jersey, Calgary, and Seattle could move up ahead if they win all of their games. New Jersey has one game. If Buffalo Sabres lose, okay, I'm just saying if they lose and the other teams win their game, they can move down to eighth. Does that matter to you or no? Or we just be like, screw it, man. Just want to win the last game in Tampa Bay. I don't want them to make this draft pick this year.
I would like it traded the day before the draft or at the draft for a player. We don't need a player. I don't know. Whatever, but the eighth pick overall, ninth pick, 10th pick, will get you. Which we just saw Cutter Gauthier, who's a fifth pick, pick up Jamie Drysdale. So what's this eighth, ninth, 10th pick in a draft going to get you, along with maybe something else? You have all these assets. This draft pick this year should not be made. Or you have to move on from some of your other draft picks. Because the time has come where enough is enough with putting eggs in another basket down the road. We need something a little more current. And that's the kind of shit I want to hear in the press conference coming up. I don't want to hear, if Tage doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens in those six games that he misses, or, you know, this and that and the other. No, I don't.
That about every team.
Say that about every single team in the league. And then even the ones that are missing guys, like Washington, who has arguably the third worst roster in the fucking Eastern Conference, are still fighting for a playoff spot. A team that you've beaten twice in the last week.
Yeah, do you know that Washington Capitals right now are currently sitting in a playoff spot, and they are minus 40 in goal differential?
Yes.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That is insane. Minus 40 in goal differential. I'll tell you, the Sabres right now are zero. They have 42 goals for, and they've had 242 goals against. They are even for the season. The Washington Capitals are in a playoff spot, and they're minus 40. How is that possible? It's crazy when you really think about it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because really it comes down to Detroit and Washington. Detroit plays Montreal twice.
No, it doesn't come down to Detroit and Washington.
Well, the Islanders.
You still have Philadelphia in there, Petey.
Yeah, but they have one less game. The most they can do is 89. So one win out of either one of these teams, and it's over for them. Because it would, you know, if Detroit wins one more game.
Washington plays Philadelphia. So if Washington loses their next game, okay, you have Philadelphia that has the same amount of points. Okay, if they win their last game against Washington, then they flop them. And if Detroit
Washington will still have one more game. So somewhere they play a game either before or after.
I understand
that.
Washington plays Boston in their next game. I would think, watching Washington Capitals, I think they stink. I really do think they stink. I don't think that this is a good hockey team at all. And I don't want them to make the playoffs. I really don't. Because I think whoever
and
they
Boston
play
Boston needs to win that game. Now, there are implications in that game.
Yes.
Do they want to play Toronto or do they want to play Washington in the first round or Detroit in the first round?
Yes. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I mean, there's Boston Bruins want to win their next two games. It's very big. Okay.
Okay. I guess I've written them off. I've written off.
So Washington is probably going to lose the game against Boston. And then it comes down to Philadelphia and Washington have to play each other for the last game.
And then, that game will mean nothing if Detroit beats Montreal twice.
Correct.
So,
but I mean, Montreal Canadiens are another team that I think are very sneaky.
Detroit holds their own destiny. Two wins and Washington wins twice. They get them by wins. Detroit would have 41. Washington would have 40. It's all on Detroit.
And what about Pittsburgh? Done. Pittsburgh sits 1 point behind Washington, Detroit, and Philadelphia. They have 86 points. They're 1 point behind, but they have two games in hand. If they win their last two games and the other teams don't win, then, I mean, Pittsburgh has a legit chance. They have to win their last two games. I think it's super exciting. It is super exciting. It's going down
it is,
the wire.
It is exciting, but is it not predictable?
What do you mean predictable? Why is that predictable?
I mean, if we were to just kind of go based off what should happen, Detroit's getting in. That's what in the end.
Detroit has the easier schedule, without question, the easiest schedule by far to get in because they're playing the Montreal Canadiens that are not super strong.
And the Islanders lose both. Detroit and Washington are both in.
I think right now the Islanders are the one team that has basically stepped up in the biggest way. They've played the best hockey. You have Pittsburgh Penguins that in their last 10 games are 7-1-2. They have played very, very well.
The Petey, Islanders.
This
play,
is going to go down.
The Islanders play New Jersey tonight.
New Jersey could easily win that game.
And then they play Pittsburgh on Wednesday.
And Pittsburgh, that's who they want. They want to play the Islanders.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins could flop and get in and be they could be top three in the Metropolitan.
Well, I'll just sum it up like this. The Atlantic Division is so strong with those top three teams that this easily could be a conference final if it were 1 through 8. In my opinion, these three teams, any way, which way you slice it, that first round against the Leafs is a monster series. Monster series.
Yeah.
And then you still have the Carolina Hurricanes and the Rangers battling out.
Yeah. Listen to me. I'm going to tell
you
this.
It's a massive
dark horse right now for me is the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they are absolutely put together like a machine. They're the most structured. They're defensively responsible. One of the best defensive teams in the National Hockey League. They're plus 66 in goal differential, meaning that they score a shit ton of goals and they're very good defensively.
Let me tell you what I want to see just for selfish matchup reasons. I want to see Florida finish first. And then they'll end up in their division. And then they'll end up playing wild card number one.
Yeah.
Because the Metro will clinch the higher seed in the Eastern Conference. So
yes.
They'll end up playing wild card number two. So,
yeah, so
I would like to see Carolina win the Metro division, see Rangers Islanders in the first round, see Florida Tampa in the first round, see Boston and Toronto in the first round, and then Carolina and anybody else.
Yeah, Florida and Tampa Bay in the first round. Could you imagine that hatred?
That's what we need.
Could you imagine Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs? Could you imagine the Rangers playing the Islanders in the first round?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, wow. That is a hell of a setup of games. That could be really interesting.
That's what I want to see.
For me, I would love to see Carolina play And Carolina would be the number one team in the East. I would love Carolina to play the Pittsburgh Penguins with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, and, you know, the boys, man. I mean,
but a lot has to happen for that to happen. Like, there's so many pieces that need to fall into place for all of that to happen. That's not going to be how it plays out, because Boston has two games, Florida has one. It's, you know, it's just so, that's just wishful thinking. That's like thinking, if I've been in a car crash or need a personal injury attorney, I can use anyone else other than Salino and get the same results. That's called wishful thinking, because there's only one number that you need to think about. 888-8888. That's the number to Salino Law. Don't think someone can do as good a job. Let them do the best job. Call Salino.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca.
Nikki Glaser, Saturday, April 20th, 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Event Center.
Jay Farrow will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
What about the Western Conference? You know, like, you have, how about Vegas? Thomas Hurdle's back, huh? Nice to have.
Well, did you hear that Mark Stone is officially practicing with the team again?
He should be ready for round one, if I'm not mistaken.
He should be ready for round one.
Now, answer me something, Anthony. That 9.5 doesn't count against the cap, right?
It doesn't. No.
Oh.
No, either did Thomas Hurdle's 6.5 that they're paying him. But he's an 8-point-something million-dollar player, because San Jose held back a couple million dollars in that deal. Do you think the NHL is going to do something about that? They're going to have to make the change, because you have Tampa Bay, who did it a couple years ago with Nikita Kucherov, who went on long-term IR, and in the very first game of the season, or in the playoffs, he stepped in, and did he not win the Conn Smythe?
If your team can't make it to the playoffs without doing that, or win without doing this, then you shouldn't be allowed to do this. Jack's been on the IR for a little bit. Stone was playing. Now Stone goes back on the IR. Now listen, you don't think these
players... They're not doing anything wrong. Let's get something straight.
They're loopholing it. It's a loophole.
Okay. Well, Tampa Bay did it and won a Stanley Cup doing it.
And made T-shirts.
And last year, you have the Vegas Golden Knights did the exact same thing with Mark Stone, who didn't play a large part of the year. And then all of a sudden, you have a $9.5 million player jump back into your lineup, you know, for the rest. I can't say it's unfair, because all other teams have the ability to do the exact same thing that Vegas Golden Knights and Tampa Bay did. So, but I'll tell you this, I would not be want to be the team that has to play the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round of the playoffs.
Vegas could win the next two games and play Edmonton in the first round. LA could lose and they'll play. I mean, there's still a lot of ramifications going on over there too with positions.
Well, the thing is, the Western Conference, the top eight teams are already set. They're already in the playoffs. So Vegas is in the playoffs. It's just the matter of who they're going to play.
Well, Dallas has won their division no matter what, but now Winnipeg, Colorado are 1 point difference, one game apart, and home ice is completely on the they're going to end up playing each other in the first round. That's a first round matchup. Colorado, Winnipeg is a first round matchup. It's already set in stone.
Dallas is in the situation that they are either going to play the Vegas Golden Knights or the LA Kings. And believe me, they're praying right now that they're going to play the LA Kings.
Well, wait a minute. If Vancouver loses both of their games and Edmonton wins the three of theirs, Edmonton wins the division.
Yeah, I hear that, but you know, Vancouver Canucks have been a very consistent team throughout the entire season. I would not think that at this time of the year that they're going to lose. They play Calgary one game and Vancouver or Winnipeg in their last game. I don't see them losing both those games. Very well could happen, but I don't see them losing those two games. And they want to be, they definitely want to be first in their division. There's no question. So it'll be fun. It's going to be really fun to watch the final standings. There's one or two games left for most teams, except for I think the Edmonton Oilers have three games left. But it's going to be an interesting to watch exactly who sits where at the when it's all said and done. Going to be very exciting because I think the playoffs this year are going to be insane. It's going to be so fun because I think there's a lot of teams that have a realistic chance of winning the Stanley Cup. And a lot of times you don't go into the playoffs thinking that you usually have, you know, one or two or three teams that are kind of way above the rest. And if they don't screw it up, they're probably going to win. But in this year's playoffs, I've never seen it as tight and as strong as what this year is right now.
Okay, well, then I'm just going to say this. I think the Islanders could upset whoever they play in the first round.
Very well, but I don't see them. They're not, they are not strong enough. They are probably the worst team that's going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. They have less wins right now than the Buffalo Sabres. They have less wins than the Buffalo Sabres. The Islanders might give a headache to a team here and there, but they just do not have the firepower at all to be able to handle the big boys. So I'm not worried about New York Rangers. Whoever gets in the second wild card in the East.
The Islanders I was talking about.
The Islanders. That's what I meant. The Islanders are not, they're not dangerous at all. Like I said before, they have less wins than the Sabres. The second wild card, whether it's Detroit, Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh, whoever falls into that second wild card, they're going to be out in the first round. That's just my opinion. And then when it comes to the West, I think any team can win the Stanley Cup. Vegas Golden Knights, I think Nashville, I think LA, Edmonton, Vancouver, Colorado, Winnipeg, Dallas. I think every single one of those teams can win the Stanley Cup. That's the league, man, the league is good. The league is talented. It's never been this talented in the history of the game. And, you know, you remember back when we played years and years and years ago, there was,
I think you're wrong, only, man. I think the fucking Islanders are going to actually play very well in the playoffs. I'm looking at their lineup. They have veterans. They have young guys. They have leadership. They have defensemen. They have physicality.
Goaltending.
They have goaltending.
Yep. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not going to sit there and
where,
tell you.
This is where Palmieri, Engvall, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Martin are all going to be huge pieces.
Yeah.
You know, this is where who's this guy that they went and got with St. Louis? Oh, I think we talked about. Oh, Bortuzzo. You know, Bortuzzo. Just kidding. Yeah. I was being sarcastic when I was going down the list there and trying to remember who it was. Bortuzzo. Sebastian Aho, Alexander Romanov, Pelikan.
Yeah, Romanov's a great defenseman.
Noah Dobson.
Yep, he had an unbelievable year this
Noah
year.
Noah Dobson has exploded into exactly what the like. How many?
70 those? Points this year, Petey.
Yes, I know.
Noah Dobson has 70 points this year.
I'm telling you right now. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he's like, "Wow, these playoffs are going to be interesting." And I said, "I think the Islanders are going to upset somebody in the first round. I saw it with Florida last year."
My only concern is the age. I'm not joking. There's a lot of old players on the team. Brock Nelson, Palmieri, Casey Cizikas, Anders Lee, Pajot, Matt Martin, Clutterbuck's 36. I mean, they have a old hockey team, and I know that they've pushed really, really hard the last month to get into the playoffs. But I'm just not sure that they have the offensive talent moving forward to overcome, you know, some of the teams that they're going to play.
That comes down to Matty Barzal.
You know, like I said, they're going to play Carolina in the first round.
That comes down to Bo Horvat. That comes down to, you know, I don't want to put so much on Anders Lee, Brock Nelson, Pajot.
I understand that, but they're super old, and they're going to walk in, if they do make the playoffs, they're going to be playing Carolina Hurricanes in the first round, and I just say good friggin' luck to that, because I think Carolina is a machine. They're a finely oiled machine. But I will say this. When you are locking in on a team, I will give you your respect, because what you did to me last year, which I have never forget, and you continue not to allow me to forget it, was the Boston Bruins were the greatest team in the history of the game. They had the greatest single season in the history of the NHL makeup. And they lost in the first round, and you called it. You said, Florida Panthers have something, and I love their team, and they're going to do something special in the playoffs, and they ended up going to the Stanley Cup Finals. So when you say the Islanders, man, I got to kind of shut my mouth and give you your props, because you're usually calling some pretty good stuff.
Well, here's the kicker, too, though. They could still also miss the playoffs completely. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Sit back and wait. I think a few other things just that we have to comment on is obviously, you know, Arizona Coyotes finally leaving, which should have happened 15 years ago. 20 years ago, yeah. I mean, they've been the dark hole of the league for many years. Just the amount of money that organization has lost, I can't even imagine. People would be shocked if they knew how much money the Arizona Coyotes have been bleeding, you know, from the NHL for so many years, trying to keep that organization afloat. But now
that's an interesting deal. And there's a lot that you need to kind of break down and learn to understand about how all that's working and the finances behind it and how much money the owner's getting. And I guess from what I've understood and heard and learned is that maybe they've played their last game of the season, but I guess they're on their way home. They're going to stop in Utah and kind of get the lay of the land is what I've heard.
Really? As a team, you mean?
Yeah. Like they're going to do it as a team.
Wow. That's interesting. So me not being, not the most worldly guy, I guess, when it comes to cities and states and everything else here, I had to look it up in the
geography.
Geography. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I had to look it up in a map. I'm not afraid to say that. Yeah.
Where exactly is Utah? Okay.
Exactly is Utah? And that may like people might be kind of like thinking to themselves, like, what an idiot, but I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm Canadian from the East Coast and, I don't really know. I honestly would have an extremely, and I mean an extremely hard time doing the map of the United States and the different states. But
all right,
I looked it up and
still a Western Conference team.
I think that could be good for the league. Good location, you know. And what's the first thing that comes to mind when you start to think about Salt Lake City and an NHL team? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Honestly, the first escrow.
Oh, really? So you're talking the money.
Well,
I'm talking. I want to know what the jerseys are.
Is this not a business?
What are the colors?
This is a business move. This is, I'm thinking more about the business of the game than I am the colors of the game and all that stuff. This is a franchise now that has been moved a third time. Okay. So it moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix and it's been there and now it's moving again. So,
correct.
I don't know enough details of the sale, but all I know is that there is a provision in there on the $1 billion sale that the current owner of the Coyotes, if he can get an arena built in 5 years, they will grant him an expansion team.
It did not work. Gary Bettman tried. and hopefully things can work out. And I can't wait to see if things all go through and everything's the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. I can't wait to see what logo, name, everything else. It's going to be exciting.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for all events going on through April and May. Check it out.